All right. Hello, Fight Insight fans, viewers, and listeners. I'm your host, Timmy B. Today, my guest co-host, it's going to be Robbie Moss. He's an amateur fighter, nutritionist, health expert, fitness expert, whatever. He does it all. He's just a little bit late. He's tied up in traffic. So I'm going to start the show. Before we do start, please make sure that you take a moment to follow and subscribe to us on whatever platform you're seeing me right now. Leave 5-star ratings, leave good positive comments. We appreciate all of that. If you'd like to support the show, check out middaysquares.com and use code FIGHTINSIGHT15 to save 15%. That really helps. On today's episode, we're going to talk to a future star. He's fighting next week on Dana White's Contender Series. We're going to talk about the conspiracies at UFC 279, the fake glove touch, a whole bunch of things. Stick with us. It's going to be a great show. Yes, Timmy B, Pretty D, Fight Insight. Yeah, that's right. All right. Like I said, our guest today, he holds a perfect professional record of 7-0. He's set to fight for his UFC contract as he competes on Dana White's Contender Series September 20th in Vegas. He's a flyweight training out of the incredible Goat Shed Academy under leader Asim Zaidi. We became aware of this young man when we spoke to his teammate Jillian Robertson just a few weeks ago. Born in Venezuela, he's now living in Florida. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the podcast, the unbroken Roy Echeverria.
Hey, what's up, guys? Nice to be with you here.
Hey, how are you? How are you, sir? You're at the PI now.
Yeah, we just got here at the PI to get some training.
Nice, nice. Is it your first time at the PI?
No.
Nice. So you've been there before, trained there before?
Yeah.
All right, man. You are a young flyweight coming into Dana White's Contender Series. How are they treating you? Are they treating you well? I've seen some good posts. You're doing all your media day stuff. How's it going?
Yeah, it's pretty good. I mean, one of the reasons why the UFC is where it's at. It's the best platform, the biggest company in the world. So I'm just excited and grateful for the opportunity and the experience that I'm living.
Nice, man. And you are a very exciting flyweight. When I first saw you, when Jillian Robertson talked about you, I looked you up and I couldn't believe you're a flyweight. Your muscles look like they must weigh like 200 pounds. How the hell do you make 125?
No, I mean it's just photos. I'm a decent flyweight. I feel like I'm stronger for sure. I'm talking about like height and weight. I'm straight with that. So
yeah. All right. Good. And I want to show a picture for those that don't know you, Roy. And I know we don't have a lot of time with you, so I'm just going fast through the questions. But what is this about? I'm showing a photo. There's your mask that you wear. Is there a story behind the mask?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's the mask that I used to use when I was in the protest in Venezuela against the government. That's the anonymous mask and with my Venezuelan flag on, is because I mean the anonymous mask represent like protest against systems, corruption, robbery, people that try to control the other systems and countries. So that's what was happening in my country back then. Still happening till right now, but when I used to live there is when I was in the protest. So I used to have a mask just because we couldn't show our face because they would come after us. So I have to cover my face, and I decided to cover it and represent at the same time with that.
Wow, that's crazy. That's a very interesting story. Of course, I live in Canada, so I don't always hear about things like that happening around the world. Yeah. When did you leave Venezuela?
2017.
Yeah. Okay. Well, good for you, man, and congratulations. You know how the UFC normally likes to hear about stories about people, and then while they're fighting, they tell the stories. Have they talked to you about this?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's part of my interview. That's part of my story. It's gonna be showing it on all my interviews.
Nice. So try not to, I guess. I mean, you can do what you want, but try not to knock your opponent out too fast.
I will. That's my if they offer me get paid by hour time, I take it longer. But Other than that, I'm just trying to take him out as fast as I can.
Yeah, man, definitely. When you moved to the U.S., did you go straight to Florida? How did you get to the goat shed?
Yeah, first of all, I went to Oklahoma, went there for a couple months because my family was there. I have an uncle there, so he like was welcoming here on United States at the beginning, but then I decided to move to Florida. I started Black House first, then I met Asim, which is my head coach right now. I met him on an open mat and stuff like that. And at the beginning, we were just a couple guys training, like, not for fun, but like, we were nothing official, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But as the time went, I see the difference on my result, on my style, on my camps, and I just decided to quit on my gym and just start to stick to him, stick to his training methods, all the mission that he has behind, and if I feel like we get along with his vision and my vision, so it just became a really good relationship that it's been like almost 5 years right now. So
nice, man. That's very similar to when we talked to Jillian Robertson. She said that like Asim and that whole team is just fantastic, so she loves working out with you guys too. I want to show a quick video of you training at Goat Shed. And so again, if you're listening to this podcast, make sure you come and watch the video, but here it is. I'm going to show you. Los raperos me ven como alternativo, mientras los alternativos me ven como el rey. Desde el hombro hasta la cadera, ponme la bajita y te la voy a sacar para afuera. It looks so cool, man. Like all the lights, like it's like red lights, purple lights. They're following you around with cameras. What is the deal with that?
That's the energy that we bring. That's the energy that we have at the gym. It's just amazing. We're not alone there. So it's just a blessing, you know what I mean?
It's amazing, man. And tell your coach, next time you're talking to Asim, tell him I want him on this podcast too. I got to talk to him about this gym. It looks amazing. Okay, so you're at the Performance Institute now. You're going to be fighting at Dana White's Contender Series. For people that don't know you, you're a finisher. What can people expect when they watch the Unbroken Roy fight?
Excitement, man. I'm known for making highlights on people, and that's what I'm looking all the time. I'm definitely going to go try to show all my skills and get that contract done in a spectacular fashion. You know? So I'm gonna try to do my best to take him out in a really, really good way. Nothing boring, nothing too simple. You know what I mean?
No. And getting on Dana White's Contender Series, it's very good for you because I think they've been giving a lot of contracts to people on the Contender Series, right? Like if I think it was last week, every single winner got a contract. Yeah. So are you very excited for that? Because I think before a lot of people thought, oh, it's good if I go on the Ultimate Fighter show or something like that. But Dana White's Contender Series, it's like if you put up a good performance, you're almost assured a contract, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yes, I'm excited. This is a fucking amazing opportunity to perform, to be on. I had a great camp, so I'm just ready to go and get what's mine, you know?
Yeah, man, it's crazy. And then you don't have to go on tough. You don't have to live with a bunch of crazy people for 6 weeks, right?
No.
Yeah.
I mean, if that wouldn't have to be what I have to do, I will, because this is part of my dreams. But definitely this is a better road to do it.
Yeah, and you say it's part of your dreams. When did you know that you wanted to be a fighter?
As soon as I start fighting. I definitely, this is, I fell in love since my first MMA fight, and I decided to do as a living, so always on my mind has been the UFC letters, and this is what I feel that I belong, so I'm really working hard for this.
It's amazing, man. And your nickname, The Unbroken, what does that mean?
Being unbroken, like mentally, physically, you gotta, it's not just about, More like mentally than physically, because I feel like your strong mind make a strong body, and unbroken mind will make your strong unbreakable body. I just feel you have to be in that way and be to face any situation of your life, no matter what it is. It could be an economical situation, relationship, life situation, fighting situation, career, injuries. This life is tough, you know, but at the same time, it's good. Life is good too. So you gotta enjoy it. You gotta embrace everything, the pain, embrace the victories, embrace the losses. And that's part of being, that's what makes me who I am today. I've been through a lot of stuff, and I just embrace every single one, and it makes me unbroken right now. And I'm just grateful, you know. I'm pretty sure that it's gonna keep coming that way, and nothing's gonna stop me just because my mindset is it's in the right position.
Nice, man. You seem like such a good guy. I'm so happy for you. I think that this is going to be a great thing. You have a very good look too. Like, you're very styled, right? You have, like, I see on the photo sometimes you've got like the bleach blonde hair.
Yeah.
But like, you.
I did it this time because I came too far away from the fight, so it would look like kind of ugly by the time that I'm fighting. But that's gonna be coming. Let's see if we fly out the barber here and we do some cool stuff.
I knew you were coming on the podcast, so I tried to grow my beard too, but it's not good. I'm half Chinese, so I barely grow anything. It's terrible. Oh, I can't grow. I'm going to ask you just a couple things. One last thing. At the Performance Institute, because you're going in there for the Dana White's Contender Series, do they do all the stuff like the food, the shakes, all that stuff? Like, they help you out with all the nutrition? Is that part of this?
I don't know yet because I haven't checked in. I'm supposed to check in on 17th, but I came before because I want to help Julian to finish the last dates, and we came for her check-in. So I'm not like I'm by myself right now, like on those terms. But okay. I don't know. Hopefully that's how it works for me too on 17th when I check in. If not, I'm straight. I'm gonna be part of the UFC really soon, so I'm gonna be getting those treatments as well.
Yeah, man, that's good. And make sure you say hi to Jillian Robertson for us.
Sure, definitely.
Because we had her on the podcast. She's so fantastic, man, and she's gonna kick ass this Saturday when she fights.
I have no doubts about that. This is gonna be one of the best performances so far. I'm so excited for her, man. Her future is bright. She's such amazing girl, such amazing athlete, and it's just. I'm grateful also to be here to guide her mentality, his savage mentality. Like, it's really fun to be part of your journey.
Yeah, man. Well, I know you've got to go. I know you've got to get to your training. Before I let you go, is there anything that you want to say to fans, friends, viewers that are watching?
Really, thanks too much for the opportunity to be here with you. Thanks for the support, all the guys that be watching this. Thank you so much. Don't never doubt of me that I'm going to give everything that I have. That's what I train for. I train for all the people that supports me and that doesn't. I do even more. So thank you so much. Thank you for the opportunity, man.
Nice, buddy. When you win your fight at Dana White Contender Series, who are you going to say thank you to on the mic? Like, who are you going to shout out some love to?
First of all, God. He allows me to do everything that I do. And second, for sure, my teammates, my family, my sponsors, my country, which is like one of my biggest support that I have. I receive a lot of support from my country. So those guys really push me. So
all right.
To all of them.
All right, buddy. Well, again, guys, on September 20th, make sure you check out Dana White's Contender Series to watch Roy Echeverria, the Unbroken. He's going to get that contract, go into the UFC flyweight division, tear things up. Roy, when they eventually make a UFC card with your picture on it, I want a signed version of your card, okay?
Put it on the list. I got you.
I'm doing it, man. And when you're saying thank you to people after your fight, feel free to say Fight Insight Podcast. You know,
sure.
If you want to, just say it, brother. All right, man. Thanks. All the best to you. Kick ass. And good luck to you and your team. And good luck to Jillian this Saturday.
Thanks.
Have a good one, brother. Take care. Bye-bye. All right. How cool is that? Roy Echeverria. And here's my co-host, Robbie Moss.
Hey, what's up, Tim?
Mr. Moss, how are you, my friend?
I am doing fantastic. Hopefully my audio is okay. No. Thank you for letting me back on the show. And apologies to the fans. I was supposed to assist him in the interview with Roy, but if anyone here listening, obviously it lives in Toronto, never trust the DVP. It will take you longer than it should to get where you have to go. That's on me. But it sounded like you guys had an amazing conversation.
Oh, we did. He's such a great guy. Man, this dude is a killer. And I can't wait to watch him fight. He's 7-0, perfect record, professional record. He's a flyweight. He looks like he's a lightweight. Like, his muscles are insane. He looks just like you and I, Robbie, pretty much, if like when we take off our clothes.
I would think he looks better than us, hopefully.
I don't know.
Professional athlete. But thank you for including us and myself in that level of athleticism. I appreciate that.
Dude, his gym is insane. The Goat Shed.
I've heard of that guy. Their head coach, he's on Instagram as like awesome
MMA. Yeah.
Oh, dude, those guys are legendary. They do this thing where they have these red lights, and they kind of simulate like being in the UFC cage, like the lights on you. It's ridiculous.
Robbie, you could not segue any better. And you weren't here, so people think that this is a setup, but you weren't here during the podcast. But here's the video I showed. Los raperos me ven como alternativo, mientras los alternativos me ven como el rey. Desde el hombro hasta la cadera, ponme la vagina. Right?
Dude.
It's so cool, like, man.
It's so cool, and it's the best way to get you not just physically ready, but like mentally ready for being on the big stage. I think it's a brilliant training tactic, and the Goat Shed just looks like a really freaking cool place.
Looks beautiful. Dude, let's go move to Florida. And not only that, but he very smart of him. I think he's with Jillian Robertson for her fight this Saturday.
Okay.
Who we had on the podcast, our fellow friend Phil. He helped me interview her. Mm-hmm. So he's gonna get all that experience. He's at the UFC PI, he's like seeing it all. So like all those nerves, he can kind of get through all that stuff by being with Jillian. So I think that's pretty cool. That's awesome. Friend of the podcast update. I always try to say this. If you're here at the podcast because of Roy, thank you for joining. Thank you for checking us out. Subscribe, follow, all that jazz. There's tons of stuff in our backlog and tons of great podcasts coming up, including the Jillian Robertson one that we did a few weeks ago. But friends of the podcast update, Jillian Robertson is fighting this week, Saturday. We've said it a couple times now. Britton Hart, she fought. We just interviewed her a few weeks ago. She is now the inaugural strawweight BKFC champion. She had a beautiful fight. 4 days notice, her opponent changed. She actually fought another guest of the podcast, Carissa Sweetheart Sagala. So no way. Either way, Robbie, I was going to have known the BKFC champion, but that's
either
cool.
Way. you're friends with famous people. For those of you guys who don't know, I was the 8th guest on this podcast in the inaugural days of Fight Insights.
That's right, brother.
And I've listened to every episode you guys have done so far. So both interviews with both of those amazing, incredible women.
Yep.
Fantastic. Interview was amazing. Both of those women could kick my ass. BKFC is a different level, man. Bare knuckle, it's just a different game. I can't imagine it.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. And Robbie, I love you. Thank you so much for watching the podcast. Let me just say, you're one of my only friends that watches the podcast. So I really appreciate it. There's you and a few people I know, but like, it's hard, man. You're doing this thing. You're trying to do a podcast and like trying to get people to support you and stuff. It's tough. So to all our fans and viewers and listeners that watch regularly, I really appreciate you guys. That said, if you want to support the show, you know to go to middaysquares.com, use code FIGHTINSIGHT15. Those are those functional chocolate bars. Amazing.
I've actually had them. They were giving them away. A humble brag here, but 2 weeks ago, I was in Kelowna, BC for a Spartan race.
Yes, that's what you do.
Yeah, I used to be a Muay Thai fighter. I'm shifting more in towards the sports that where I don't get punched in the face anymore.
Yeah, sure.
I only have a few brain cells left, so I got to keep them around. But they gave away Midday Squares at the end of the race.
Nice.
So Midday Squares are, I can attest, they are absolutely fantastic. 100% use Fight Insight 15 to get 15% off because they taste amazing.
Yeah.
And just in spite of being vegan, they taste amazing.
Yeah. No, really, really, really good. And that helps support the podcast. And I did say, because of people support and stuff like that and buying that product, that's how I was then able to get a bunch of the UFC cards that we're going to do some unboxing videos I've got my honeymoon in a few weeks, so I'm going to pre-record some stuff. So I'm not, so I'm not doing podcasts during my honeymoon, Robbie. I feel like that would not go over well. So I'm going to do some unboxing videos. Right, yeah, I think
you're making the right choice.
That said, Mr. Robbie Moss, since you've been on the podcast, you are now an engaged man.
Oh yeah. Yes. I've been living the engaged life since, November of last year. But we're not going to be, actually what today is today's the 13th actually. So as of today, I am 13 months out from my actual wedding day. It's going to be October 13th of 2023.
Oh, when nice. I will
be getting married.
All right. We might do a podcast from your wedding. I'm going to live stream. Sweet. You know what I mean? I feel like that would be good. Robbie, another Friends of the Podcast update. Did you watch last weekend? Chris Beast Boy Barnett.
Another humble brag.
Well, I don't think you saw it.
I was away last weekend, running a half marathon. humble brag. I've been missing a lot of actual live fighting events. I feel like I got to get back into like all these things because I keep on seeing the updates and think, oh, that'd have been fun. But then I was also running a half marathon, so I was like, I shouldn't complain about missing fights.
No, that's fine. He won in glorious fashion.
Amazing.
He danced his way to the cage as he does. He's so funny. He was losing the first round. Then in the second round, it's going pretty well. The guy shoots in on a takedown. He sprawls, floats over beautifully like a lightweight, like this 270-pound man floats around, TKO, puts on a beautiful speech, dances the way out, and then apparently parties with his opponent, Jake Collier, like after, and they went out and had beers and whatever. Like, dude is the nicest guy. For those that don't know, his wife passed away unexpectedly or something like that. It was just several months ago. So he's gone through hard times, but to see him have that win, I'm so happy for Chris Barnett, a good friend of the podcast, and we love him.
Good
so
for him.
Yeah, man, that's crazy. What else do I want to say? Before we get to some topics, RageWorks Podcast Network. This podcast is now on the RageWorks Podcast Network. You can check them out at RageWorksNetwork.com. So to all the viewers and listeners that are coming in through there, we greatly appreciate it. So check us out. And that's a great place where you can go find a whole bunch of other cool podcasts. So check that out, RageWorksNetwork.com. Robbie, I've got really two issues that I want to talk to you about. Well, everything revolves around UFC 279.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know what happened when they made all the changes. Khamzat weighs in at an obnoxious 8 pounds over. Almost impossible.
Like, Jesus. Then, he's a professional. What's happening here?
He doesn't look drawn out. Nothing. Looks like just normal. Walks onto the scale. Goes over 8 pounds.
Yep.
The UFC then magically, changes all the fights. No one doesn't fight. Khamzat fights Holland, murders him, no problem. Nate Diaz then fights Tony Ferguson, which is a much better matchup, right? In terms of like equal level skill spot in their career. Nate wins by submission. Mm-hmm. And then the leech, Li Jingliang, gets totally robbed. Well, he gets robbed in the fight because everybody thinks he won, and they don't give him the decision against Rodriguez. Mm-hmm. But that guy was like 10 pounds overweight. I don't even understand how that fight is allowed. I don't understand how every contract was allowed. Robbie, the question to you, my friend, is it all fake? Did they fucking set this up from the beginning?
I don't think you can set up that much stuff to happen without it being too obvious. I just think it comes down to a lot of guys in the UFC just not being as professional as they should be. I mean,
but one guy not professional. One guy didn't make weight, and suddenly all six guys are okay with just switching opponent at the last minute. You don't make game plans for this shit. Like,
well, I think in most guys in the UFC should be ready to fight anybody at any time. Worried nothing about strategy, which is why I was always a fan of Cowboy Cerrone back in the day, because he just didn't game plan for anybody. He just came in and kicked ass or occasionally got his ass kicked.
Whatever, though. Yeah, yeah. But he's a warrior, man.
Yes, he's a warrior. Hats off to him. But in terms of Khamzat, I don't know, man. He is an absolute beast of a man. I think he would have absolutely destroyed Nate. Yeah. But there was a time where he was out of the UFC and retired due to health reasons. Next thing you know, he's back and better than ever. But he's also missing weight. I'm not sure. Maybe he had to miss weight because it would have killed him. We don't really know. But like you said, he didn't look that drained.
Wait, so, are you sure that he was the one that was out? I thought that was Zabit Nurmagomedov.
If I'm remembering correctly, it was Khamzat that was
out. Khamzat was out too? Yeah.
And then okay. Came back, yeah.
I don't know, man. I smell conspiracy all over this. Because here's my deal. If I'm Khamzat, no, sorry. If I'm Kevin Holland, I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Why?
I'm going to go from fighting, you know, a stand-up fighter in Rodriguez that I have a pretty good chance at to fighting Khamzat. And I've already said, I've literally told everybody I can't wrestle. And you're going to switch opponents to probably the greatest wrestler in the UFC today? I mean, how much money would they have to pay you to do that? It makes no sense for him. It makes no sense for the Leech. The Leech had a decent fight set up against Tony Ferguson. You got to think the Leech is like, okay, Tony Ferguson, no disrespect, looks like an old man now. I'm a young killer. I'm going to murder this legend and I'm going to get back on track. And then he takes a fight against a guy 10 pounds over who is like, I don't know. Nothing made sense to me. Yeah, nothing made sense to me because Leech should have sat there.
The UFC did happen to have all these fights happening at the same weight class on the same card. And they were able to just kind of play a weird game of Tetris the day or two before. So you could argue there is like some conspiracy, or maybe Dana White just had zero faith in Khamzat's ability to make weight and just planned ahead, knowing.
Yeah.
I would like to think that like this is still one of my favorite sports of all time. It's what made it was like the first sport I could ever consider myself an athlete in. So I like to think that there's no conspiracy behind it, and that it's not all fake and pre-scripted like WWE. Mm-hmm. But you know, you're right. Like it's weird that they were able to just mix and match. And you're right. I think
too much bullshit.
Everyone's got a price, so I hope they at least gave Holland a bigger pay boost to make him agree to fight somebody who can dummy him. And also, why would you admit that you can't wrestle if you're in the UFC? That's just also a really bad play.
Well, because
why would you show them your weaknesses?
I think because he's been a victim of it for so many times to the point where he's like, yeah, fuck, people know I'm not great at wrestling. But then that's on him and his management to go, okay, let's pick fights against dudes that, you know, aren't necessarily going to wrestle me down to the ground. Like that's why he's had some decent success lately, because he's picking guys that aren't that focused.
It's also on him to get a coach that can get his wrestling up. Because unfortunately nowadays in the UFC, if you can't wrestle, at least base level, you're not going to do well. You have to have some level of grappling.
Yeah, but that guy thinks he's hot shit. I don't know how much he's going to listen to people and stuff like that, right? So I don't know, man. I believe it's a conspiracy. I think it's all bullshit. I think it was all fake. I think it was all set up. There was no way I was buying that pay-per-view before the card changed. And then when the card changed, I was like, I'm going to buy that pay-per-view.
Fair.
Because suddenly it became a card worth watching. The matchup seemed even. Like, I wasn't going to pay $70 to watch Nate lose in 5 seconds.
Yeah, because we all know, unfortunately, there was, unless by some miracle, fell into, like, a perfect triangle, there was no way Nate was going to win.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that comes out on a different level right now.
Mm-hmm.
If he can make weight.
Zero chance, dude. Okay. Let's go to the next conspiracy. Not conspiracy, but the next issue with Khamzat. And that's the glove touch.
Mm-hmm.
Did you notice the glove touch, or did you see any videos about the glove touch?
I've seen some videos. Because like I said, I didn't watch it live. I was away on the weekend doing a stupidly long amount of running.
I mean... I don't understand people that do marathons, but okay, I'm going to show you a video of the glove touch. Now, if YouTube says I'm not allowed to play this, it's going to delete this. So for those watching on video, this may or may not show up when I upload this, but I'm going to show two versions of the glove touch. And what I'm talking about, for those that don't know, everybody knows, did Khamzat fake a glove touch and then go shoot for the takedown? You will see Kevin Holland definitely goes for a glove touch. And what I believe is that Khamzat does put his hand up slightly and then shoot. Okay, I'm going to show it two times. It's going to show the regular speed and slow motion. So here you go, Robbie. Pay attention, my friend. You are dead to me, because what you said to me cut so deep, and now you're dead to me. Dead to me, you were a friend to me, but I've been... I added that music so that YouTube doesn't know what I'm showing.
Copywriting.
Smart dude. Smart guy. I also zoomed in. Okay. So you can see it a couple times. I know it's not great on the screen.
It looks great.
Definitely throws up.
Well, it would have been different for sure if Khamzat had gone for the glove touch first. Like if he was the one. It looked like Kevin Holland was initiating it.
Yeah.
And then Khamzat kind of just... You could argue that he ignored it, but he did put his hand up. That's for sure. If it would have been way different if Khamzat was like, hey, and then shot.
Yes.
He might have just, you could argue that he ignored it, but he did kind of put his hand up and then go for the takedown. I'm going to call it fair. If I'm being completely honest with you, it is kind of dirty. Obviously, Holland was going for the glove touch and Khamzat just ignored it, but he might have just also used it to his advantage in that scenario. And maybe he would have gone for it, right? When you get into this sport, I mean, you don't always have time to be the nice guy and you just want to win.
No.
I'm not saying it's good. It is straight up disrespectful to your opponent, but maybe he was just in such an adrenaline fueled mode that.
Yeah.
You could argue that he didn't see it and he just shot his hands out and went for the takedown.
It did look like he
went for it and then shot the takedown.
I looked back at a few of his fights. He does not do any glove touch with Leech. He does not do any glove touch with someone else. And he did do a glove touch with Gerald Meerschaert, GM3. Mm. So it's not like he never does glove touch. It's not like he always doesn't. Robbie, I went to the fans on our Instagram.
Kevin was reaching out for a glove touch at the beginning when you went in for a takedown. Did you see that, or are they just making things up on the internet?
What?
No.
I don't understand. How are we going to see that when I take off his head? I'm going to watch his hands.
Enforces what I was saying. Maybe he wasn't focused on the glove touch. He's looking at, like, when you fight, you don't really look up. Your focus should be actually on your opponent's chest mostly.
Yeah.
Like right at the sternum, because that's where the punches and kicks will start.
Yeah.
Right. So if that's what he was looking in, that like horse blinders mode on, where it's like going to kill mode, you could argue that he did not see it. And maybe that's how he goes in for his takedowns.
Yeah.
It would be 100% different if he had put his hand up first to give the glove touch.
Yes.
But Holland did initiate and Khamzat just didn't respond. I mean,
if you are about to fight Khamzat next, okay, so I'm speaking to all the UFC fighters that watch this podcast. If you are about to fight Khamzat, don't even fucking go for a glove touch, right?
No.
If you are a fighter in general that watches this podcast, okay, what you need to do, I'm giving out free advice here, Robbie, when you're at the cage, like before you even start, that's when you motion to your opponent. Glove touch? We've seen that many times. Will go, hey, glove touch across the cage, right? Before the bell even rings, you're motioning. Are we going to glove touch? Many times we've seen where the opponent goes, yeah, and puts their hand up, and then you walk together to glove touch, and then you start. That's the honorable, respectful, traditional way to do things. I know, I'm not an idiot, you dummies. I know that when the bell rings, all's fair. But you're an idiot if you think that's not normal that they touch hands after the bell rings.
No, it's 100% normal. Do you what round was this in? Was this like the very first round, or was it later on in the fight?
Robbie, the fight lasted like 10 seconds.
Oh shit!
He takes him down and submits him. No, no, no. This is first. This is first. Yeah, we're not even. First yes, round. It also happens in at every round successively, but especially the first. Hand up. Okay. Yeah, we're gonna go touch. Cool. We go touch. That's my advice to all the fighters out there, amateur, pro, whatever. Figure that shit out at the beginning. Aside from that, do not initiate glove touch. Just go fucking fight because you cannot risk.
And oftentimes, like the referee will also say, touch gloves if you want to before they separate you to go to your corners anyway.
No, no, no. But regardless of that, though, there's always that glove touch. And then there's the secondary one when the fight starts, right? It doesn't matter. There's both.
And you're absolutely right. Like, again, you're right. Make eye contact from across the cage. Put that hand up. Maybe he'll agree. Maybe he won't. But you'll know.
Yeah.
And then don't do it anyway. Because you might get taken down or kicked right in the leg, whatever was worse.
Wait, were you going to say like, kicked in the nuts?
Kicked right in the leg, kicked right in the nuts.
Yeah.
Punched right in the face.
No, man.
There was an old school, there was an old school fight years ago where the guy goes to, he goes for like, he puts his hands kind of down like this so the guy can go like two-handed high five with him. And as soon as the guy does, the guy just like, as soon as the guy's hands are down, right to the high kick. Like he put his hands down and went right to the high kick off of, as soon as the guy went to do the double high five.
The guy giving his hands.
Yeah, the guy giving his hands.
Sucker kicks him?
Yeah, he like freaking head kicks the guy once his opponent goes to do the double high five downward. So his hands are down. And so he just eats a high kick. I can't remember where that fight was.
I think that was, I know what
UFC.
No. I know what that was. That was one of your first fights. I remember you did that to a guy.
Okay. Never happened.
Mix it up.
I did throw a jab directly into a spinning back kick one time, but I never did it off of a glove touch.
All right.
I have a little more honor than that.
All right.
That was when I was sparring you that I would do the, fake high five and kick you right in the head.
You son of a gun.
Specifically a Tim Baratis, special right there.
Yeah. I know I don't give out my last name. What are you doing? All right. That's okay.
I'll
delete that. I'm not deleting that. I went to the fans for their thoughts on whether it was dirty or not. 50-50.
Okay.
So I think, you know, there's a lot of heated debate on Twitter and Instagram and whatever. I was getting into some fights on Twitter and stuff like that, but I don't know, man, it's 50-50. So some people think it's totally dirty. Some people think it's totally fine. I think some people argue they don't even think that was a fake glove touch. I think they go, oh no, he was just feinting a jab or something like that. I mean, I don't know why you're jabbing at a 45 degree angle upwards, but okay, fine. But whatever.
What's your opinion though? Like, what do you generally think though?
I think he faked a glove touch. I think it's a dirty fucking move. I think he didn't make weight. I think there's a whole conspiracy. I think that whole card was like, not that card, but that there were so many things in that night that were insanity, that were weird to me.
Yep.
But goddamn, wasn't it enjoyable, right? Like, well, you don't know, but it was enjoyable, Robbie.
The UFC still puts on amazing, amazing cards.
Incredible.
I do sometimes miss like what I consider the golden age, like the GSP, Bigfoot Silva, Mark Hunt, Benson Henderson era of the UFC, some guys like that. But a lot of guys are coming up that are just like so insanely talented in this sport. Yeah. They're striking, their grappling is absolutely next level, and it's amazing to see the evolution of MMA athletes coming up. Just such a great to see this sport evolve the way it has.
Well, such as our guest today, Roy Echeverria, 7-0. The dude has grown up. He's a killer. He's good at everything. You know, you get to a gym like the Goat Shed that is laser focused on creating the next generation of superstars. I've seen their coach, Asim Zaidi. I hope I'm saying that name right. I'm going to have him on the podcast. Guarantee I'm getting this dude on because his gym is insane. I don't know what the hell he's doing there. But I saw a great interview where he said, hey, my guys are all young killers. There's going to be a changing of the guard soon. Soon, all the guys that you know are going to start retiring. They're going to be gone, and there's going to be a new wave of people. That's my people. And he's talking about how all his fighters in the Goat Shed, those are the guys that are going to be the next top. And it's going to be a way different level of martial arts that we're going to start seeing because these guys grew up doing it, you know?
You are absolutely right. And the crazy thing is about the Goat Shed, it's only been open as a business for 2 years.
I know.
It has grown exponentially fast.
Yeah. Yeah, well, they're finding fighters, man. Fighters are finding them, and they're going there and they're realizing, like, that was Jillian Robertson, right? She was with ATT, and then, you know, she finds this gym and goes, hey, man, this is a cool place, and I'm going to stick it out here. So
there's a fighter there that I'm not sure what his name is, but I listened to an interview with Asim. Okay. He was on a different podcast I was also listening to. One of his guys, I can't remember his name, unfortunately, trekked through, like, the fort, like a forest across countries to get to his gym. Like, it took him days. He has like PTSD from like his journey to escape wherever he lived and arrive at his gym, just to train with this guy and live at the Goat Shed.
That's crazy, dude.
He's attracting guys who are willing to literally risk everything to get and they want it. They want this win. They want to train. They want to get the highest level, and they're willing to literally risk it all to do it. So I think
it's amazing.
Right. Have a team. They've got a team.
Man, it is so cool, buddy. You know, yeah, it's just crazy what's happening. But let's move on. I'm going to just talk very briefly about the fights that are happening tonight, because I know you've got to go. What are you doing now? You're training? You're teaching?
I've got a class coming up in 12 minutes. I'm already at the gym, so it's all good. We got some time. Like, again, the class is at 5.
Oh, yeah. When I say just a few more minutes, I mean like 20 to 30 more minutes. And I don't want to mess it up, but if people want to find you, Robbie, I'm going to put this banner down here, but it's at @RobbieMoss_, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm glad you brought it up, because there is currently a poser out there who's made a new account of me, and they have Robbie Moss with 2 underscores, saying that my real account that you just mentioned with 1 underscore has been hacked, and now that is my new account. If you want to find me on Instagram, don't fall for that. Plus, he's been hacking other of my friends' accounts now, so don't fall for whatever this Middle Eastern person, and I don't mean that to be like racist by any means, but it actually just is true. Instagram hasn't done a thing about
it. Wait, you know who it is?
No, but friends of mine have gotten emails from him, or like he or she has sent them an email address to receive PayPal payments, and I, based on the name, I know like they're from like Johannesburg or something.
Okay. Now, how do we to be clear, how do we know you truly are Robbie Moss, and not like some sort of like special effect?
You can't special effect this good looking face, man. There's no one on CGI that can get me looking this good.
Damn, that's a good answer, Robbie.
I'm just straight up gorgeous.
that's a good answer, my friend. All right, let's okay. So, anyways, if you want to go follow, I mean, definitely you got to follow Robbie Moss, but it's at Robbie Moss, @RobbieMoss_. Robbie, before we go, we're going to talk about the fights this weekend, which is UFC Sandhagen versus Yadong, or Song Yadong.
Yeah.
This is an interesting card. It's got some decent fights. I'm only going to talk about a few. Jillian Robertson versus Maria Agapova.
Absolutely.
Okay. 2 great fighters in the women's flyweight division. Jillian Robertson, fantastic. Okay, we love her. Canadian, whatever. Maria Agapova, very interesting fighter. Very cool. Do you know her? Demon Slayer.
She's some of her fights. She's got a very interesting style of moving around and kicking ass. So I think those two going at it, I do believe our friend of the podcast will take it. Absolutely, Jillian's going to take it, but it won't be easy for him.
Yeah, so Maria Agapova, she's from Kazakhstan. She's a stand-up fighter, long reach, very devastating. But they put her up against the Iron Lady, Maria Agapova, in her last fight, and Maria just simply mauled her, took her down, finished her. Okay, I was upset because I do like Agapova. Then Agapova is supposed to fight friend of the podcast Gion Kim, and I thought, great fight, 2 stand-up fighters. They're just going to put on a war. It's going to be a great fight. For whatever reason, Gion Kim ends up getting moved off this fight, and then Robertson steps in.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect fight for Robertson. She's going to copy the Iron Lady's game plan. She's just going to smother her, take her down, finish her.
Yep. That's what you have to do with a good stand-up fighter.
Yeah.
That's what you have to do.
And I feel bad for Agapova because I like her. But Robbie, do you know Maria Agapova is the only fighter who has ever said no to coming on this podcast because I am too small? That's what she said. But her manager said, we're too small. And I'm like, son of a gun.
I mean, that basically makes sure she just lost you as a fan and therefore support Jillian Robertson because, I mean, that just...
I know.
That's just rude at that point. Like, exposure,
I don't know.
Exposure is exposure.
Like, I know. You know, like, I don't take it too bad because I'm like, well, damn it, then I'm going to get bigger and I'm going to get you on because, like, I want to speak to her because she's got a cool story. She's got a cool vibe, you know, like I do think. But on this one, I'm taking Robertson, Canadian. She's a friend of the podcast. She didn't diss me, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean?
Well, that's two strikes that Maria did not have, so.
Yeah, yeah. Other good fight on the card. I think this is opening up the main card. It's Tanner the Bulldozer Bozer. You know that guy?
That's
Canadian.
Awesome name. I love it.
Best name. He's fighting Rodrigo Nascimento, but Tanner Bozer, Canadian. He was supposed to come on this podcast as well. We just ended up having some scheduling conflicts. He's the guy that looks exactly like Brian Bam Bam Barberena. They both look very similar. So Tanner Bozer, good luck to you, my friend. He's a Canadian, so we're going to be there on the card for him. And then let's just go to the main event. Corey Sandhagen versus Song Yadong. Corey Sandhagen, I mean, he is 14-4. He's won two of his last five fights. He lost his last two. Lost to Peter Yan, lost to TJ Dillashaw. So, of course, two of the greatest, right?
Yeah.
If you're on drugs. And then Song Yadong is, he's the guy that trains out of Alpha Male, I believe. And he is 19-6. He's on a three-fight win streak. He has won four of his last five, only losing to Kyler Phillips. He last beat Marlon Moraes and Julio Arce, TKO and KO. Who do you got on this one, my friend?
I mean, I actually do enjoy Corey Sandhagen's style. I mean, you can't forget his flying knee against Frankie Edgar.
Yeah.
That was absolutely stellar. Yeah. But I think the momentum is shifting against him based on his last few performances versus his opponents. Because like you said, he's on a three-fight win streak. And you have to know what a streak does to your confidence and your momentum, right? It just builds and builds and builds. I think it's a fight that can go either way. But I think momentum is shifting towards Song Yadong's side for this fight. But I've been wrong before. But if I had to pick one, as much as I love Sandhagen's style, I think momentum's going to carry Song Yadong through this one. That's just my prediction.
Yeah, I think so too. I think I do like Song Yadong. I like Team Alpha Male. I like what they're doing there. And Sandhagen.
I love your Rye Faber.
Yeah.
I love your Rye Faber. I've always have.
Your Rye Faber. Yeah, Uriah Faber's the man. You know, he's got the good team around him, and they've been seeing some success. So I would like to see Song Yadong take it. I think then that elevates him to, you know, hey, you're main eventing. You're going to beat one of the top guys. That's going to put you up into the top of the bantamweight division for either a title contender or maybe even a title shot, depending on how well he does. You know what I mean?
For sure.
So that's exciting. Let's see. What else we got next week on the podcast, Robbie? I don't know. Speaking about people that didn't show up, didn't want to come on the podcast, I had a guest last week that was supposed to be for next week, just blatantly not show up.
Oh, lovely.
And then doesn't really say anything and then says, oh, yeah, okay, let's do it next week, which is in a few days. And I've messaged back, nothing. I don't understand whether this person thinks they're coming on or not. I'm very annoyed with it, but I'll see. If it's not that person, okay, then I do have two people that are fighting at the next celebrity boxing event.
Ooh.
Okay, so two cool people, man. Like, and the celebrity boxing event is October 15th, so I got to get them on the podcast now because otherwise I'm going to be gone.
Mm-hmm.
One is Albert Ochoa. If I say that name, do you know who that is?
Unfortunately, I do not, but I'm pretty sure I've seen him.
Okay. Albert Ochoa is the young kid who had Kylie Jenner take him to the prom.
or something. Oh my God, that's him? Holy shoot.
Wait, do you know this story really, or are you just doing
I know this, I know podcast? The actual story. Yeah, yeah, that's that I blanked on his name. That's hilarious.
Okay, so what's the story here?
I think you kind of summed it up really well. He somehow had Kylie Jenner take him to the prom. Yeah, but I didn't know the kid. I didn't know he was a boxer.
So he boxed. I think he boxed already before for celebrity boxing. Yeah. I mean, he looks good. When he approached me, I thought he's a legit boxer. Like, I thought he's like some next like young hot prospect. But I guess he's like a YouTuber or what, like some sort of social media guy. Oh, and then okay. his claim to fame is that Kylie Jenner, one of the Jenner twins or sisters or whatever, took him to prom, or he took her to prom. So he should be on the podcast. And then the other celebrity boxer is a individual by the name of Brady Bunch. She is I'm going to get this wrong because I haven't really met this person yet, but they're fighting for the first ever non-binary championship.
Oh, my goodness.
I believe she is a transgender. She's a musical performing artist. She opened for 6ix9ine.
Oh, wow.
Like, I think like they are a legit musical artist.
Okay.
Turned fighter. I think they were a school teacher as well prior. So school teacher, but yet a musical performer, like a musical artist.
Like on the side
kind of thing. Of good success.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. And now is celebrity boxing. So I know Brady Bunch for sure is going to be there. I believe Albert Ochoa is going to be there. This is going to be a fun podcast, dude. I mean, I don't know anything about what the hell this stuff is and what celebrity boxing is, but God damn it, it's going to be a fun podcast. So I know that for sure is going to come up either this week or next.
Amazing.
Yeah. Like, hey man, I love talking to all these, unique people with cool stories. You know, that's what we do here, man. And then the other person that I'm definitely trying to get on the podcast, and so I'm trying to burn through all of these guests before I go on vacation. The next person, Robbie, and I will play this for you, my friend. It will be this person.
Welcome to Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship, Ty Emery.
Interesting celebration right there.
If you can get her to do that on your podcast,
on the podcast, even better. Robbie, that is Ty Emery. She won at BKFC Thailand, just murdered a chick, does a viral sensation celebration. And I've known her manager for a long time. He's a great dude, Remington with Ruby Sports. And so we're doing our best to get her on the podcast. So either next week or the week following, I really hope that we can speak to her because I've got a lot of questions about that. And yeah, you've got a few questions yourself. all right, my friend, Robbie, it's a good way to end a podcast, Robbie.
Yeah. But if you need a guest co-host, I love to get in on an interview because I just got a lot of my questions myself about that. Absolutely.
Robbie, we've said where people can find you, but is there anything you want to say before we let you go?
Just that once again, I do apologize for missing the beginning of this podcast.
Don't worry.
Glad I could make it in time for my segment to actually have a piece of this and discuss these with you. Definitely everybody go to Midday Squares, support the podcast, use Fight Insight 15. They're actually really good. Follow Fight Insight Podcast on Instagram, subscribe on Spotify and on YouTube. These guys have been doing amazing work and they're really reaching out and doing really well. So please subscribe, support the podcast and have a fantastic day, everybody.
Dude, you don't have to do that for me. What about you, my friend? I love you. You're the best. Congratulations on your engagement.
Oh, thank you,
dude. You're the best, man. If you want to find Robbie, go find him at @RobbieMoss_. Don't follow the other account. That is not him. Robbie, Robbie, you're always welcome on the podcast, my friend. I love having you. I love chatting with you all the time. Go do well for your students. Teach them well. Teach them all this good stuff that you do. Put them through hell today.
Always
make them do some extra reps just for Fight Insight.
Absolutely. They're gonna blame you. There's gonna be a bunch of kids cursing out your name, though. That's for sure.
That's fine. Bring it, Robbie. Bring it. Have a good one, my friend. Take care, buddy.
You too, Tim. Thank you so much.
See you guys. See you next week.